Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to go ahead and get started. It's an amazing Easter Sunday, and I'm so glad to have so many people that here. It's so awesome.
Yes.
You know, just something a little funny. I was praying to God. I'm like, all right, I want five people from Mississippi College here at Sunday service. And I'm counting. I'm like, one, and four. I'm like, wait, I go to MC2. And I found myself in there too. So I was like thinking about that while I was singing songs. Amen. That was awesome. And you know, those of you that are visiting, Easter is, you know, a very important holiday for, you know, a lot of us. But this lesson might not be your traditional Easter lesson or sermon, but at the end of the day, it's about God.
Amen.
And I think that's what matters.
Amen.
And as we get diving into the scripture, we're going to be in Exodus 10. Those of you that are visiting, we're going through the book of Exodus. And my dad gave the lesson on Exodus 9 previously, so I'm doing Exodus 10. So I'm super excited, super pumped. And before we get started, I just love sharing good news. I love sharing how God has been working.
Yeah.
Sydney driving all the way to Atlanta to talk to the campus students there, really, you know, changing and inspiring their hearts to make a move over here to Jackson. And I bet there's a lot of people that their hearts were turned to want to move to Jackson, probably more than we know.
Amen.
Probably more than we know.
Amen.
And we're going through this amazing book. We're just about done, 40 days of prayer.
Yeah.
We've been talking about all the amazing things that God has been doing in our life.
Yeah.
So much. We've got a bunch of Mississippi College students here. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Take over. Come on.
And I don't know if I had already said this, but the theme, or like the title, you can put this in your notes, is humility. Because I really feel like this chapter speaks on that. And that's always something that I need to grow in. So, before we get started, let's go ahead and pray for today's service. Dear God, thank you that we're able to meet together and just worship you and just dig into your word. I pray that this lesson is powerful and inspires us and spurs us on to grow closer to you, God. And I pray all these things.
Amen.
Man, you know, God is amazing. I'm getting advice from brothers about my lesson, and it's so helpful. And I think it's so amazing to see how we're really pouring into each other when we're giving these lessons. So as I'm reading and sharing, just think about that, how everyone in the body kind of contributes to each lesson.
Amen.
And I think that's so powerful, and I think that's really something to be grateful for. So the first point, you know, the theme is humility, but the first point I want us to really focus on is God's authority. Previously, my dad gave the lesson on Exodus 9. God is attacking Egypt in their wealth, in their livestock, but the Israelites are unscathed. You know, they don't seem to be bothered at all. And Pharaoh's heart was hard and was not fazed by God's power. And the question I left asking myself in the previous lesson was, how do we guard our heart? And I really think that ties in well to this chapter as well in Exodus 10. And we're going to be referring to some scriptures in Romans, so if you want to go ahead and bookmark that or, you know, make a mental note, we're going to be turning to Romans a little bit. But the first point, God's authority. Let's go ahead and start reading. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord." So, God has hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he wants his people to know him. But in Exodus 9, it talks about how Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So, I'm a little like, there's some questions coming up.
And I think both of these examples don't deny one another. I think God allowed Pharaoh to have what he desired.
At the end of the day, Pharaoh wanted control.
That's right.
But still, you know, sometimes I have to think, well, what about free will?
You know, it seems like there's a bit of an interruption there. But there's a scripture that I have that I think really connects well with this section of the chapter, and that's in Romans 9, so if we want to go ahead and turn there.
Romans 9, 17 through 18. It reads, "For scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens who he wants to harden." Wow. So, back to the first point, God's authority.
Right.
God has ultimate authority. And that's what he wants to make known through Pharaoh. And he chose to raise him up, and he chose to harden his heart because he has ultimate authority. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a brother about my lesson, and I thought this was such a good point. He's like, it's sad to see how the decisions of one man can make or break a country. Mm-hmm. You know?
Pharaoh, he's got all the power. And, you know, we're talking, and he's saying, man, I'm surprised they're not trying to overthrow this guy. You know, this guy's got to go. And, you know, it's tough. And that's what happens when sin gets in the way. And back to the main theme is, you know, when you don't submit to God, and we choose to be prideful, and we don't choose humility. So let's go ahead and continue reading. In Exodus 10, we're going to be in verse 3 right now. All right. So, verse 3. "So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me?'" There you go. Is that humility?
Right.
"'Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your field. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your parents nor your ancestors have ever seen from the day they settled in this land till now.' Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's official said to him, 'How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God.'
Wow.
Do you not realize that Egypt is ruined?"
Wow.
Man, and I don't know, I had to look up what a locust looked like. Those things are crazy. Okay, and even today, they destroy people's crops and lives. People starve because of the damage that locusts can do. Mm-hmm. So those things are crazy. Look them up if you want to see what they look like. And we were talking about humility, and how in verse 3, God says, "How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me?" Mm-hmm. Pharaoh, man, that guy. He wants control. And he wants to play God. And so often, I want control. I want to play God. And I can really struggle with humbling myself. And I think in all of our lives, that might look different for each person, because we're just different people. And for Pharaoh, that meant, you know, he didn't want to give up control. That's what he struggled with. For me, that can, you know, accept learning from other people and just humbling myself and understanding, okay, Chris, you don't know everything. you know, as hard as that is to admit sometimes, and just being able to make myself available to people.
mm-hmm. and being willing to listen to people. Mm-hmm. An example, man, God has been working on campus. Parker and I love you, man, calling you out. We went onto campus, and we were just opening the Bible, you know, in the middle of campus, and people started walking by, and then this guy just came and sat down next to us, and he just starts, like, telling us his whole life story, and we're sitting there for, like, over an hour just listening. And this guy would not stop talking. I was, and I could really struggle with patience. That's another thing. I know you guys have been there. There's always that. Anyway, but I was just thinking, and he told us, he's like, man, I really needed that.
Amen.
And I really needed to slow down, be patient, you know, humble myself,
right,
and just make myself available to people,
yeah.
and just let him be heard. Mm-hmm. And he shared how meaningful that was to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, some of the things that I need to adopt. You know, trying to be humble and make myself available to people. And everyone's in a different situation. It might look different for other people. Maybe think about, you know, how that applies to you in your walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And we see here that Moses and Aaron, they walk up to Pharaoh and they give Pharaoh a choice. They say, hey, you can let God's people go and be freed from future plagues, or you can refuse and have God pour out his wrath. And God's already been doing a bunch of stuff. And he's going to continue doing it. But Pharaoh refuses to be humble. And, you know, it's not looking good.
Right.
It's not looking good. So I'm going to go ahead and read verses 8, and then we're going to go ahead and turn back to Romans. So let's continue reading. Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. Go and worship the Lord your God, he said. But tell me if you will be going. Moses answered, we will go with your young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, and with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord. Pharaoh said, the Lord will be with you if I let you go, along with your women and children. Clearly you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you have been asking for. Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. Man. So, Pharaoh demands the men to stay in Egypt, but Moses and Aaron aren't having it, and they don't compromise their values for what he wants. It's so easy for me to do that, to compromise and justify certain decisions I make.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see later on that, you know, Pharaoh ends up getting struck by locusts. But, you know, there's another scripture in Romans that I want to share that I think really connects well with this passage, and Pharaoh specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Romans 1. And we're going to be reading Romans 1, 17. Romans 1:21 and Romans 1:28. All right. It reads, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And in verse 28, it says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. And if you scroll down a little bit, it ends up saying, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And I just think this ties in so well to where Pharaoh's heart is and where his situation is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this really ties in to the second point. The first point is God's authority.
Mm-hmm.
The second point is let go and humble yourself to God's authority.
That's right.
Let go. So let's go ahead and continue reading, starting in verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over Egypt, so that locusts swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail. So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area. Summoned Moses and said, go worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind. Yeah. All right. But Moses said, you must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock, too, must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight, and make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die. Just as you say, Moses replied, I will never appear before you again. I love that response.
Wow.
Moses was like, okay. You know, I know God's got a plan, so I'll do what you ask. So we see that in this passage that God covers the land of Egypt with darkness, but leaves the Israelites alone. I would love to see what that like looks like.
Right.
You know, since they're like very close in proximity, and one's dark, one's light. I'm like, that's pretty cool. God's pretty creative. And we see once again Pharaoh stuck in his pride. He tries to compromise with Moses,
yep.
But Moses is not having it. And Moses still chooses God, and so he refuses to compromise his values. Do we ever compromise our values when adversity comes up? That's something that, you know, I bet I do it more often than I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when Pharaoh hears Moses' response, he becomes irate.
Mm-hmm.
He banishes Moses. But Moses is like, all right, you know, that's okay. Moses knows that God has a plan, and he chooses to stay obedient to him. And as great of a journey and as great of a story as this has been so far, it gets way better. And we just continue to see God work. And back to, you know, the New Testament, the whole Bible is kind of about Jesus, or it is about Jesus.
Yes.
And this chapter, it's about Jesus at the end of the day.
Amen.
Because God is willing to bring his people out of Egypt. You just see how much action God is willing to take to know his people and to let his name be known.
Amen.
Amen.
And he's even willing to send his son on the cross to die for our sins so that we can know him. That's how much he wants to be in a relationship with us.
That's right.
And I think, what is my response to that? What should my response be to that? You know, am I willing to die for my friends, for one another, like Jesus has died for me? And do I have the right heart to submit to God's authority? Which is point number three. You've got God's authority, point number one. You have to be humble and submit your God. You have to submit to God's authority, point number two. And point number three being, well, do we have the heart to do that? Do we have the heart? And when you don't have the right heart, things get tough. Because I feel like for me, a lot of what I struggle with in my pride and lack of humility is all about the heart. And it's so easy, you know, to make yourself have this outward appearance of, oh yeah, I'm all good. But deep down inside, you're judging people, you know, you're impatient with people, you're calling people names, you know, in your head. Someone cuts you off, you know. It could be the smallest thing that gives me a trigger. Yeah. Not only does this make things harder, but I really feel like it makes you miss out on opportunities. I think it makes the gospel become less convincing. There's so many things that can happen when we choose not to submit to God's authority and just humble ourselves.
That's right.
And I think Jesus is the ultimate example of that. So as we go on throughout our day, I pray that we can just reflect on Jesus dying on the cross and seeing how God loves us so much. You know, he's willing to do all of this in Exodus 10 to bring his people out so that they can get to know him. That's how bad he wants us to know him. So I pray that we can just think about that a little bit more. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.